Introduction, eh? It's great. Great to see everyone. Everyone all right?
Yeah.
Been good. Been good to get away. Hopefully you've had a chance to get away a little bit, to have a different routine, be a bit of a different rhythm. Sue and I got away as far as possible as we could to the Outer Hebrides. All there was sheep on the island. It was great. A few people as well, but not many cars, which was great. So it's good to be back, and we're going to kick into a new teaching series. The theme is there on the PowerPoint. It's called Abide. We're going to be in John 15. If you have a Bible with you, it's in the New Testament. It's the fourth gospel. So we're going to, over the next, it won't be specifically the 6 weeks because of different things that are happening, but we're going to spend 6 weeks exploring and digging into John 15. This is the sort of themes that we're going to do over the next... Doesn't seem to be working, Tim. Oh, there we go. That's quite small, I know, but that's different things that we're doing over the next few weeks, and you'll see where the teaching fits in. It's really important just to make sure you do keep the notices at the forefront. Also, keep checking the website. Lots of things going on in this new term, lots of things that we want to keep advertising. Not least the fact that we're in a new rhythm of Sunday mornings, which means that we're here every Sunday, okay? So just for this, to begin with, just for this term, we're going to be exploring what it's like to meet here every Sunday. And the fourth Sunday will be Pulse on Pause. So it'll be a slightly different expression of Pulse, but we'll be doing it here. Okay. Okay, so again, we're in John 15. I'll read this. You might want to follow it, or you might just want to listen. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, but the prunes that, and he prunes the branches that also do bear fruit, so that they will become even more fruitful. You have been already pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered in a pile to be pruned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. These are some of the probably best known words of Jesus. And let me just give you a little bit of a context for the when and what was the environment for this. It's the night before Jesus is crucified. It's the night he's arrested. It's the night of the Last Supper. It's the context in John's Gospel of chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. They sort of all, those chapters are all going on an evening when the disciples are all together. And as you move into this chapter, Jesus is walking through Jerusalem. And he's left the room where they've just had the Last Supper together. He's been talking to them and begin the teaching about who the Holy Spirit is in John 14. And he's walking and talking at the same time. And Jesus was an excellent teacher in the way that he would look at things around him and he would draw that out in terms of teaching a little bit about who he was. And as he was walking around Jerusalem, one of the things that he would see, particularly on the journey that he was on going towards the Garden of Gethsemane, he would see a whole load of vineyards. He'd see a whole load of grapes being grown. And many of you will know, if you know that area, of the whole Mediterranean area around that whole coastline, if you've ever visited that way and gone that way, you'll know that vineyards are still around. It was something that was common then and still is common in that environment. And Jesus would have seen the vineyard. He would have seen the grapes growing on the vine. And as he saw it, he then begins to talk and teach this little bit of passage that we now call John 15. And he wants them to understand some things. And what we're going to do is draw out some of the truth. But for us, it can seem a little bit odd. What does it mean? What does it mean for us to be the vine? What does it mean for us to be the branches, for Jesus to be the vine? What does it mean for the Father to be the gardener? What does it mean to bear fruit? How do we become true disciples using the goal that Jesus puts here, which is fruitfulness? What does fruitfulness look like in your life? What does fruitfulness taste like to some of the people that live with us and are gathered around us in our lives? That's what we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. It's an invitation and it's a challenge to abide. And I want to encourage us as we look at these verses to begin to think a little bit about what Jesus is trying to teach us in terms of our discipleship. The first question that I think it's really important to think about is this question is what is fruit? If we're going to be fruitful people, then we need to be clear, don't we, as to what actually is the fruit? What is the fruit that God is talking about, what Jesus is talking about here? What does it mean? Well, we get a hint of it in John, same chapter, but a little bit later in verses 10 and 11. It's what we talked about. Being fruitful is to do with being obedient. Fruitfulness comes out of the actions of our lives. The things that we do is part of our fruitfulness. And particularly when that fruitfulness is expressed through love. When we express our actions through love, Jesus is talking, isn't he, a little bit later here in this chapter, verses 10 and 11, about remaining in his love, being those who obey the commandments of Jesus out of his love. But if you know anything of the New Testament, if you've read the New Testament, if you've explored it a little bit, you'll know that there's other things that are talked about to do with being fruitful. Probably the most famous passage that many of you might be thinking about, I hope, at this moment, is in the book of Galatians. So if you read Galatians 5, Paul there is talking about fruit that comes out of a life that is a spirit-filled life, as opposed to fruit that comes out of our lives that is caused by our sinful nature. And he contrasts the two. And the things that he talks about are in themselves things like kindness, self-control, goodness. You can read, there's nine of them listed there. And they're these feelings, these characteristics that Paul talks about. It's almost like a state of being, isn't it? It's like the things that we're looking for in life. This is what Paul says is fruitfulness in our lives. But he also goes on and talks about it in Titus and Ephesians, that fruit is also about things that we do, the actions of our lives. If you look at Titus 3:14 and Ephesians 2 verse 10, if you read those verses, you'll see there that Paul is not just talking about fruitfulness that is to do with our character, not a fruitfulness that's just going on the inside of our lives that makes us feel different, but actually stuff that we do, things that we step into. I think part of our fruitfulness that God wants us to call us into is to respond to the yes of Christianity. To respond to the yes of what God has in store for us as people. Sometimes I think it's so easy for Christianity to focus in on the no. To focus in on the do nots. To make Christianity reduce it down into the things that you don't do. To reduce Christianity down into a killjoy type of religion and faith. But actually, I think Jesus wants this fruitfulness to be a yes. A yes to life. A yes to the things that he offers to us. And even when there are those things that say no, when there's those things that Paul or the scriptures talk about not doing, it's because there's a yes behind it. Let me illustrate it for you. So where we have a do not, so if it says, thou shalt not kill, well, the yes behind that is because we say yes to the value of human life. It's the yes to the fact that everyone is created in the image of God. It's the yes that everyone is unique and special and has a unique and a purpose that God has for them. So why would we go around killing people when actually we understand the yes? Or do not commit adultery. Instead of focusing on the do not, well, let's say the yes to married life. That married life is supposed to be this picture of how a relationship becomes the bedrock and the foundation of our communities and how life can grow up and out of a married life. It's to be the picture of God's love for his people. It's to be a living example of what it's like for Christ to love the bride and for the bride to love Christ. Marriage is a great picture. And just while I'm talking about marriage, Tim and Rosie are getting married. Most of us know that. It's a week on Saturday, 20th of September. I do know, I'm going to be there. And they really would like to invite everyone to their service. So if you want to come, there's some little cards on the out. They've got like a save the date with the time and the place and the venue. On the way out, just ask the welcome team to pick that up, and they'll give you one. And they'd love to see you to celebrate that. And again, while we're talking about marriages, it's great to see Chris and Julie. Mr. and Mrs. Demetria. So they... Hello again. Good to see you. So, Chris and Julie, they were married 15th of August. Almost a month coming up. So, it's great to see you. So, let's embrace the yes of life. Let's talk about that fruitfulness. But, let's just be real about this for a second. Let's take a reality check about what we're trying to talk about. Because Christianity and Christians can be so easy when we get into talking about stuff like this, when we get talking about fruitfulness, so we can begin to think this is all about me. This is all about the things that I need to do. I need to try harder. I need to get better. I need to do this. And then, but actually, one of the things that Jesus teaches us primarily out of this little passage is that the source of your fruitfulness is not you. And I think it's really important that if we're going to talk about abiding, if we're going to be fruitful people, that we recognize and accept this truth. And this truth is countercultural. The truth of our society in terms of getting more peace is that actually you'll find more peace by going deeper into yourself. That if you go deeper into yourself, if you connect with your inner self, if you take time to meditate. I was reading this week about yoga. And 30 years ago, it was not really known at all. And in America, it's a $70 billion industry now. And I would say one of the main reasons about that, I'm not getting into any judgments about whether yoga's this or yoga's that, but the truth about it is that people are looking to find a connection inside themselves, to find some peace, some purpose. That's what yoga is about. And it's saying, well, you'll find this in yourself if you take the time to get into the right position and take the right time to be quiet, then you'll connect with yourself and then something will begin to emerge and you'll find what you're looking for. Well, Christianity is totally opposite to that. Christianity says that actually there's nothing good in you. That actually the sinful part of us, the sin nature, there's nothing good. So actually, if we're going to be fruitful people, if we're going to exhibit that fruit, then we have to accept the truth that the source is outside of us. We can't find this in and of ourselves. So fruit bearing is not a matter of being strong or weak. It's not a matter of being good or bad. It's not a matter of being clever or stupid. Fruitfulness comes out of this relationship and this connection that we need to have with Jesus as the vine, and we are the branches. And in some ways it's so simple, and yet it's so hard. If anybody's been a Christian for more than a year, you'll know that's true. It seems so simple, and yet it is so hard. I was at a Light Project event, I think on Friday night, and I didn't know who was going to be there, but Chris Duffett was there. And many of you will know Chris, and he was talking to the students. It's the 14th year of the Light Project, which I thought in itself is a great testament, isn't it? Those of us who have been around Chester for as long as that will know that, will know Chris and how the whole Light Project started. So they've got 10 new students. And Chris was talking about fruitfulness, and I thought, well, that really connects with what I want to say on Sunday. So I went and had a look at his blog. I don't know if you follow Chris's blog. I'd recommend it to you. It's a great read. And let me just read this to you that Chris wrote this week. He says, how to be highly effective and productive as a Christian. And he writes this. My prayer throughout this year is to take aspects of my holiday into all that I do. You see, the economies of kingdom productivity and fruitfulness is to abide with Jesus. It's all wrong and topsy-turvy. Yet in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, Jesus reveals the secret for fruitfulness. To dwell in him and he in us. There is no other way of doing this than to take time. This requires downing tools and simply being with Jesus to enjoy him and to love him, even when the world shouts, look busy. And then he goes on to say this, on my heart is this mystery. Fruitfulness comes through walking in the slipstream of Jesus. And he mentioned that on Friday. I thought, that's an interesting phrase, walking in the slipstream of Jesus. And it sums up what I'm thinking about in terms of this series of teaching. How do we do that? How do we as individual disciples and as a corporate collective group of believers walk in the slipstream of Jesus so that fruitfulness flows out of us day by day and week by week? We all know verses like this in John 15, where it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But we also know verses like this, don't we, which Paul writes in Philippians. I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. There's an invitation in this passage that I want us to step into in a fresh way over these next few weeks. This invitation to abide. This invitation to dwell with God. To take time to be with Him. And to recognize that as we do that, as we do things over here, as we take time to do stuff, and we'll talk more about that over the next few weeks, what is it that we can do that causes us to abide? What are the things that we need to do? What are the ancient practices that enable us to enjoy God in our lives? I was aware of this matrix, and some of you will know this if you've been on this journey with us, in terms of how do we as disciples get into that top right-hand corner? How do we become fruitful disciples? It's around these two areas of character and competence. This is where the fruitfulness needs to flow in our lives, isn't it? Character, fruitfulness in our character. Galatians 5 is about that. Looking at people's lives and saying the character that they have, who they are, is where I see that fruitfulness. I see that foundation for God to build through. But also to see fruitfulness in our skills, in our competencies, to be growing as people, to be able to do things that we've not been able to do. How confident are we at praying for people? How confident are we at sharing our faith? How confident are we at doing things that we see Jesus do? We need to grow in that. We need to grow in these two areas. And my hope is that over this next 6 weeks, we can have some key markers in our lives where you can say, actually, I am more fruitful in this. Maybe it's about listening to the voice of God, hearing the voice of God. Maybe you're not that confident at hearing the voice of God, but you want to be. You want to be fruitful in that. So let's look at how over the next 6 weeks you can grow in that. What can you do to make that stronger? Who could you talk to? I'll just finish with this quote. Doesn't seem to be coming up again, Tim. There we go. Again, you might not see it. It says, let me read this to you. Habit and imitation. There is nothing more perennial in us than these two. They are the source of all working and all apprenticeship and of all practice and all learning in this world. Don't know much about the guy who said it. I did a bit of a Google on him just to find out who he was. And he's a Victorian, he's a philosopher. But I just liked these two words, habit and imitation. And in the context of abiding, I want to encourage you to think about those two words. Think about the habits that are in your life. The good habits and the bad habits. What are the bad habits that you perhaps need to cut out? That's about the pruning. That's about saying, I'm going to cut out that bad habit. But instead of just focusing on the bad habits, let's think about the good habits. What are the good habits that help you? And in my life, there are certain things that I seek to do on a regular basis. And habits are just things that you do regularly. That as you do them regularly, they become part of your life, part of your practice. And they enable you to abide more and more in God. Imitation, though, is really interesting, because imitation is actually finding somebody who you can see this is in their lives and saying, actually, I would like a bit of that in my life. And this is the challenge that I want to put out to us as a church. Who in this church is worth imitating? What, in terms of, if you look at somebody's life and think, God, look at their life as a Christian, as a disciple, as a person who's bearing fruit. I want to imitate that. Is there anyone worth imitating in this room? I think there is, actually. I don't want to be negative. I think there's a load of good people in this room. Lots of disciples who are really seeking to live fruitful lives. We're not starting from ground zero here. And I want to encourage you to find someone. Even this morning as we drink our tea and chat about the weather and our holidays, go after somebody and say, actually, I see this in your life. I see this characteristic. I see this skill. And you know what? I want to imitate it. What? And I think if you do that, I think I would almost guarantee that anybody that you go after to imitate will have a whole load of good habits behind them. Because the two work together. Does that make sense? And I think I really want to encourage us not to try harder at sort of form, you know, and it's a bit of a paradox here, isn't it? Because there's certain things that we have to do. We need to put certain things into our lives. So for me, one of the habits that I've started to do over the last year, 18 months, is every time I get into the car to drive somewhere, I will always put worship music on. That's just something I do. I just put a music CD on. Could be Bethel, it could be Matt Redman, it could be Chris Tomlin, it could, you know, some of the songs that we're singing. And anytime I take a journey, I will listen to worship songs. And sometimes when I'm on a longer journey, this has happened to me a few, I've been worshiping, singing, and I've got so into it, I've had to pull over and think, I'm not really focusing on my driving anymore. Because I've just got caught up in something that I'm, because the presence of God is in the room, in the car. And I've connected with God because I'm in, and for me, that's one of the best ways for me to connect with God is song worship. Anyway, it's the way in for me. So, but what works for you? What habits? Now, Sue and I were talking about this yesterday. We went for a walk yesterday out in towards Dalamere, and we were just talking about habits that, you know, habits of going out walking and just doing some things that will help us get a little bit fitter. Maybe lose a little bit of weight, all that sort of stuff that I'm sure many of us think about. But it's no good, is it? People can't imitate our good intentions. People can only imitate the things that we do. And that's what's so important about this process of abiding. And over the next few weeks, we'll unpack this a little bit more. We'll look at some of the practices. We'll look at some of the habits that I think are foundational habits that enable us to abide. But also we'll look at what does it mean to actually remain? How do we just connect to God? How do we keep that relationship with God alive? So that together, my hope and my prayer is that we'll just become more and more fruitful. And there'll be just something of a characteristic about us as a church, as a family together, that we're a fruitful family. There's lots of fruit. You talk to Dave and Judith at the moment. They've got all these apple trees in their garden. And it's been great watching Dave and Judith because they did a whole load of pruning last year sometime on all their trees. And if you talk to Dave, it was vicious pruning. It wasn't just like, let's take a little bit of a branch off. It was like, take the whole tree down almost. And we were there a few weeks ago, and some of us were there last week, and Judith said, bag up all the apples. So I was bagging up all the apples people take away. When I got to 200, I stopped. But these apple trees, they're fruitful trees. They just and there's a whole load of imagery there, isn't there, that we can use in our lives that help us understand that actually God wants us to be fruitful. And even when we are fruitful, this is the thing. Last year, they had another 200, 300 apples, but they pruned them because they were fruitful trees. They weren't just dead trees. And we'll talk about that. What does it mean to be fruitful and God still prune you? So we're going to explore some of these themes over the next few weeks, next couple of months. But my invitation to you this morning, particularly this morning, is let's come and abide. Let's just come and dwell in this week. You know, even in the 10 days of prayers, the things that we're praying for, we just primarily want to get into God's presence and just dwell with him, abide with him, get to know him better. Let's Look for the slipstreams of what God is doing, where Jesus is at work, and get behind them. Let's all stand, shall we, if we're able? We're going to move into a time of song worship, and that time of song worship will lead into a time of communion and just listening to God. It's an opportunity to engage. You know, if you know us, this is not, it's not a spectator sport, okay? You're not watching those at the front do the stuff. We're in this together. You are the worship team. We are in this together. Opportunities to engage with the pods, prophetic pods, drawing things, coming to the front, whatever you want to do, we'll have some space to do that. But please engage in this moment. This is for you to just come and hopefully connect with God in a fresh way.